Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I hope that you are all enjoying your day as we gather together and continue our Lenten journey. It is good for us to be together as God's people. It is good to see all of you here. I'm glad you came because someone might need you to be here today. And I'm glad that all of you who are watching here on the live stream, What? There are 9 of them on the live stream right now? Outstanding. Well, welcome to all 9 of you and for anyone who will be watching as we archive this and watch later on. We gather in praise and thanksgiving to a God who loves us so deeply, and it is good for us to be together in worship. We have Sunday school bags in the back pew. All right, so if you have kids here, make sure they get a Sunday school bag. If you have kids who visit you at your house, make sure that you take a Sunday school bag for them. And again, if you know random kids in the neighborhood or things like that, you can always grab a Sunday school bag. Because those bags include, you know, there's a craft, there's a story, there's a way for any of the children who grab those bags to realize how much it is that God loves them. So it is good for us to have those Sunday school bags. Drive-in communion will continue this Thursday, March 11th. This is more for those of you who are watching and have stayed away from in-person worship to try to remain safe and healthy. We commend you for that, but we also understand that it has been a long time since you have been welcome at the table of the Lord. Thursday mornings between 10 and noon, we try to make it open so that if you are driving to the grocery store or back from the doctor's office or something like that, you can make an appointment. You can stop by and know the power of God's love in your life. Please call Lynn at the office and try to make an arrangement, an appointment, so that we can bring the body and blood of our Lord Jesus to you. We will continue this Thursday, next Thursday, and a few more Thursdays until we're all sort of feeling safe from COVID-19. This Wednesday, March 10th, we will continue having our midweek Lenten services. We meet here in our worship space at 7 o'clock in the evening. This year, our theme is, If You Are the Son of God, The Temptations of Jesus. And I hope that you will be able to join us, whether here, live in the worship space or via the live stream. This week, our theme is The Temptation of Power. And so join us. Beginning next Sunday, March 14th, I will conduct First Communion classes for students in the fourth grade or higher who have not yet received First Communion instruction. We will meet between services on Sundays, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th of March, and we will celebrate First Communion then on Monday, Thursday in the evening. Please contact Lynn in the office to let us know if you have a child or a grandchild or a friend or someone who would like to take part in this. There are lots of other announcements and lots of other information available in the bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship, to give God our thanks and our praise, so I invite you to please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us continue our Lenten confession. We confess, Have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done. Purify me, then shall I be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins, turn away your face and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. We join together now in singing Beautiful News. Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents, to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but in the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here, stop making my father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this?
Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken, the gospel of our Lord. As you continue on your Lenten journey, I pray that the blessings of God will go with you. Amen. What is Jesus doing today? What's going on? as Jesus walks through the temple, driving out sacrificial animals, driving out the people who sell them, those who exchange the money. In John's gospel, the story we read this morning, this happens very early on in Jesus' ministry. I mean, it's chapter 2. We have him come, he does the wedding at Cana, and he's down to Jerusalem. It's right away. In Mark's gospel, right, this happens the day after Palm Sunday, the day after the triumphal entry, the Monday in Holy Week. But one thing I want you to know is that this really happened. It is covered in all four gospels. There are just a handful of stories that are covered in all of them. This is one. Jesus came to the temple and he stopped it cold for a day. He stopped the sacrifice. He stopped the trading. He stopped the purchase. He stopped the work and all that the temple had become. And he put it all to a stop. The question is why? Jesus was disrupting the status quo in order to interject the love of God back into the conversation. The Jewish people had been moving farther and farther and farther away from God's dream. That dream where we show God how much we love God by loving and caring for one another. Instead, some people were there in the temple making money selling animals. Others were making money exchanging coins. Still others were gaining power and influence by requiring those sacrifices and the trading and the purpose and all of those exchanges. There was very little concern in the temple that Jesus entered for the plight of neighbors or the care of those who have been left out. And so to talk about all of what happens, I want to start by talking about the reading we heard in Exodus. Because in the reading from Exodus, we hear God speaking to his people and giving them the Ten Commandments, the Sinai Covenant. And so this is the third week in a row in Lent where we've heard about a covenant from the Old Testament. 2 weeks ago, it was Noah. And God was the actor who was hanging his bow in the clouds. Last week, it was Abraham and the promise of descendants, of a land and of blessing. And again, God is the actor. And Abraham responds in faith inspired by that love. This week, the covenant is what we know of as the Ten Commandments. And again, the major actor is God. But now we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is love, honor, respect. God is calling to his people and he wants us to respond. And all of these covenants from Noah to Abraham to the Ten Commandments, these are all ways that God was helping to define humanity's relationship with God, but more importantly, God's relationship with all of us. Here in the commandments, we have a necessary covenant. God's people had been enslaved in Egypt for perhaps 400 years. They had been told when to wake, when to sleep, when to eat, what to do, how much work they had to do, all of those kinds of things, often with a beating thrown in for good measure. What God's people didn't know how to do was live independently. After 400 years, that's what they didn't know. They didn't know how to behave, whether with God or even with one another. And so the commandments come as a guidebook, as a map, as a way to help determine the destination for their daily lives. The commandments stand as a better way. And if we look at those commandments, we can see where God's emphasis lies. God's emphasis lies in our relationship with God. Think about it. As you were reading that, the relationship with God gets 11 verses. First three commandments, 11 verses. The rest of them, 7 more commandments, they get 6 verses. For God, if our relationship with God is good, then everything else is going to follow. But you see, as we humans have looked at and studied the commandments through the centuries, the one thing we do is we de-emphasize that primary relationship with God in favor of picking which of the other commandments were more important to us. But for God, It is our relationship with God that is fundamental. And that leads us to the problems that Jesus was dealing with at the temple in today's gospel. The temple had been intended to be the place where humanity's relationship with God had its ultimate expression. It had become a place where that relationship between God and humanity was most misinterpreted and poorly expressed. From a place where God was supposed to be found, it had become a place where God really wasn't needed at all. You see, those first three commandments are intended to set up a relationship of loving dependence. We were to recognize God's goodness and then protect his person, his name, and our relationship. And all of this was supposed to happen, not out of fear, but rather inspired by the love and the faith that God has shown to all of us and all humanity. Unfortunately, humanity began to understand our relationship with God using fear as the motivator. God gave us a covenant in the Ten Commandments that was because, therefore. Because I am your God, you should therefore love and honor and respect one another and God. This is how it is that we can live independently. This is the better way. But we, that is humanity, that is God's people, we turned that because therefore into if then. If we do bad, then we need to bargain. If we break these, then we have to discover something. If we do bad, then we gotta sacrifice something. We gotta kill something to make it all right. See, the commandments were misinterpreted as have-tos. We have to do this to inspire and to earn God's attention. And then the sacrificial system was adopted to make up for our mistakes. If we fail to keep the commandments, the laws, the precepts, the instructions, then we can rely on the sacrifice of animals to help calm God's anger. So the temple had become the place where this sacrificial aspect of humanity's relationship with God was taken care of. I've read in a couple of different commentaries that the smoke from the high altar in Jerusalem could be seen for 5 miles as you were approaching. That's how much sacrifice was being done. The temple itself had been designed with an elaborate system of pipes and troughs to channel the blood and the offal out away from the city itself, onto a valley just outside at the bottom of the Mount Zion there, and gatherings of methane would have things spontaneously start on fire, and farmers would come and take away some of it that eventually had become fertilizer. Sacrifice was what the temple was about. And into this temple, into this misunderstanding of our relationship with God, entered Jesus. And he had a desire to change it all. Jesus knew the temple as it was that day was useless. More than useless, the temple was getting in the way of the real relationship that God so deeply desires with all of us. So as Jesus enters that temple for the first time, he stops the temple cold. Now, when I was growing up, many people interpreted, and they said that Jesus, when he was stopping what happened at the temple, he was stopping those people who were cheating other people, or who were stealing, or using their jobs in the temple to do illegal stuff. That's not really what he did, or better yet, that's not all that Jesus was doing. Jesus stopped the business in the temple, legitimate and illegitimate. He stopped the sacrifices. Because he drove out all the animals. He stopped the trading in money to purchase those sacrifices and to pay their temple taxes. He stopped all of that because for Jesus, it was all unnecessary. Jesus knew that our relationship with God was not based on commandments or sacrifice, but on God's love for us. And our relationship with God shows us our dependence on God. It requires us to understand that God is faithful even when we are not. It requires our understanding that God is with us, caring for us, helping us, guiding us, always. Our relationship with God calls us to a commitment to go hopefully into the world, sharing that love that God lavishes on all of us. But what our relationship with God does not require is our killing anything. It does not require our purchase of livestock or birds. It doesn't require new currency or a new language. It is a relationship that requires our attention to God's love. At the temple, Jesus wanted to change the focus of the Passover celebration and of the temple life. And he wanted to change it back to the goodness of God's love in rescuing us from slavery and for daily caring. Most of the people at the temple, though, were very happy with their current slavery. Most of them were very happy with the way they had to sort of deal with all the regulations of the temple, and they couldn't be bothered to escape it. That was why when Jesus had driven all of these people, he'd stopped the temple dead in its tracks. The Pharisees wanted to know by what authority he thought he could get away with this. And Jesus' answer is amazing. He says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. It's like a non sequitur. Jesus doesn't seem to be making any sense. But what he is doing is pointing to his death and resurrection as authorization. Jesus was pointing to the depth of God's love for all of us as shown in his willingness to die and rise again as all the authorization he needs. He is saying to us that his part in explaining God's dream can stand for us as an example on how it is that we can live rather than try to convince us about commodity or currency exchanging. Our relationship is about loving one another. Last week, Jesus said that all those who were going to follow him needed to deny themselves, take up their cross, and then follow Jesus. This week, Jesus is showing us what that can mean. It means disrupting the things that are systematically keeping us from caring for our neighbors. It means being willing to suffer because of that disruption, to be willing to work for it in our own lives, that love for one another. It means discovering ways to share that love of God that we have been given so extravagantly. What Jesus was interrupting this day was that it was what the people thought God wanted. They were forgetting the covenant with Moses. They were forgetting the covenant with Abraham or the one with Noah. They were forgetting the call of the prophets. And they were struggling to try to discover something. There are many times when we think we're doing what God wants us to. And sometimes we're correct, and other times we're way off base. But what we are encouraged to do today is to listen, to figure that sometimes we might be wrong. And sometimes we might be right, and to follow on the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Paul today tries to remind us that our wisdom isn't always that wise, especially when what we do is use our wisdom to cast some people out. Jesus is asking us to look at how we relate to God in light of God's love and forgiveness for us. And so may we discover a way to follow Jesus as we have been called. May we find the courage to deny ourselves. May we find the strength to take up our cross and the vision to follow Jesus as we go into the world filled with God's love. This Lenten season is given to us to ponder and to practice, to contemplate and then commit our lives to God. May this Lent be blessed for us all. Amen. Please rise as we confess together our faith in this amazing God of love through the words we find in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. There is no God before you. Purify the faith of your church, that your people place their trust in nothing beside you. Your name is holy. Guide your church, that in every situation, your people's words and action honor your name. Lord, in your mercy, the heavens declare your glory. Renew your creation. Provide leaders in the struggle for clean air and water. Protect creatures and crops that rely on healthy ecosystems. Give all people the willingness to repent when our way of life pollutes the earth and the sky. Lord, in your mercy, your foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Fill leaders with the foolishness of your peace and mercy. Your law defends the vulnerable. Work through legislators, judicial systems, and systems of law enforcement to protect the well-being and freedom of all. Lord, in your mercy, your weakness is stronger than human strength. Protect those who are vulnerable and give courage to all who are suffering. Defend victims of crime and bring redemption to those who have harmed others. Give Sabbath rest to all who labor. Lord, in your mercy, you call us to proclaim Christ crucified. Give clarity to this congregation and our leaders so that we might follow Christ beyond our own habits and comfort. Clear out anything in our common life that would obscure the gospel or that serves our own interest. Lord, in your mercy, the cross of Christ is your power for all who are being saved. Thank you for all the martyrs whose witness reveals the power of the cross. Give us the same trust in life and in death. Lord, in your mercy, we entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us go into the world with hope.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Deliver me, yours is the